Hello again, and welcome to the Orwell Astronomical Society podcast for May 2013. May marks the start of the noctilucent cloud season, which runs from the middle of this month to the start of August. Noctilucent clouds are, as their Latin name suggests, night shining. They are quite rare and can put on quite a spectacular display. These clouds are very high up in the atmosphere in an area called the mesosphere, which is around 80 kilometres above the ground. This is a lot higher than where the more normal clouds form, in the troposphere, which is in the lower 5 to 10 kilometres of the atmosphere. Noctilucent clouds are caused by sunlight shining through ice crystals formed at these heights. During the summer, the sun is only just below the horizon overnight, and is just at the right angle for the ice crystals to refract the sunlight so that it can be seen here on the ground. Look out for an eerie blue-white luminous cloud between 10 p.m. and midnight clock time, low in the northwest. Now on to the moon. New moon is on the 10th, with the full moon following 2 weeks later on the 25th. So the start of the month is best for observing. Now on to the planets. This month sees two nice planetary alignments. The first around the 11th, when a nice thin crescent moon will be seen between brilliant Venus and Jupiter. This can be seen low in the west-northwest in the evening. The second alignment takes place towards the end of the month, when Jupiter, Mercury and Venus appear to be dancing around one another. Look towards the north-northwest between the 24th and the 31st of the month. So the best time to see Mercury and Venus is towards the end of the month, just after sunset. However, the best time to see Jupiter is at the start of the month, as it will continue to get lower and lower as the month proceeds. And that's where the thick atmosphere will ruin any image in a telescope. The star of the month, pardon the pun, is Saturn. The long-awaited return of this magnificent object in either binoculars or a telescope will be a magnificent sight throughout the month in the late evening. Look out for detail on the rings and some of the brighter moons. There is one decent meteor shower to look out for this month, the Eta Aquarids. These peak in the early hours of the 6th of May, with the radiant or apparent position where the meteors stream from low in the east at about 3 a.m. The zenithal hourly rate, or the maximum number of meteors you would expect to see under ideal conditions if you're directly underneath the radiant, is 55. But don't expect to see anywhere near this amount from the UK. Comet Pan-STARRS is still just about visible through a medium telescope if you know where to look for it, but I think we can forget it through binoculars now. On now to constellation watching. We're now well into the summer sky. I mentioned the Cygnus family last month. This month I want to talk about a couple of lesser-known constellations, the Cup and the Crow, or Raven, and otherwise known as Crater and Corvus. Now these might pose you a little challenge to find them. They are both quite low down in the southwest in the middle of the month around 11 p.m, just to the right of Virgo and the bright star Spica. Corvus is a nice little constellation that looks like a square of stars with one of the corners pulled away. Crater is harder to see, as there is only one star of a similar brightness to those of Corvus. However, if you look to the right of Corvus, you might see a semicircle of stars, and this is Crater the Cup. I hope that this podcast has given you some ideas of what to look out for this month. There is plenty more out there to see, and I recommend that you look on the internet, astronomy magazines, or in an astronomy book or sky map to show you what else is out there and where to look for it. As always, a planisphere is an invaluable tool for finding out what is visible, where and when, for any date and time of the year. And these are readily available from any good bookshops. Listen out next month for June's highlights. Bye for now.